I want you to take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18, please. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, and commencing to read at verse 9. And our subject tonight is Spiritism. And I'm so very conscious that when I began this series, which I was very reluctant and hesitant to do, I realized that when you begin to rattle the devil's cage, he certainly has a go. And I would just ask for your prayers in these days that I might know the protection of the Lord, and especially as we come to this subject this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. In the Daily Post of the 13th of May 1982, and on BBC Welsh news programs, the Presbyterian Church youth chaplain at Bala, David Owen, reported that devil worship by occult groups whose young members burn Bibles, cut their wrists, and suck each other's blood was on an increasing scale in rural Wales. The word occult means hidden, and it is used to describe pagan practices in which magic, witchcraft, and other means are used to explore and exploit the supernatural realm. One aspect of the occult is spiritism. Spiritists believe that it's possible to contact the dead. They believe that it's possible to contact the spirit world through the mind, and especially through clairvoyance or mediums, who, while often in a trance, allow their bodies to be used by spirits. Now, there is no question in my mind tonight that spiritism has a certain appeal. With some, the appeal is curiosity. There are many tonight who just love to dabble in the mysterious and in the occult. To such people, anything that is sensational and spooky has a large appeal. For others, this delving into the unknown has come about because of bereavement. Those who are brokenhearted because of the loss of a loved one have sought comfort through the teaching of this particular cult? Is their loved one happy? Is he conscious of events on earth? Has he a message for the one that he has left behind? Our heart, of course, goes out to all in such cases. Indeed, most of us in this room tonight have known bereavement in the loss of a close loved one. But the tragedy is this. When that bereaved one resorts to that which is absolutely forbidden by the Word of God. Now we might ask the question tonight, is Spiritism not all sham? Certainly much that passes for supernatural in the seance. A seance is a communication. It is a group communication with the dead. Certainly much that passes in the seance is nothing more than deception. Houdini, the greatest master of deception, said in his book, I have not found one incident that savored of the genuine. If there had been any real unallied demonstration to work on, one that did not reek of fraud, one that could not be reproduced by earthly powers, then there would be something of a foundation. But up to the present time, everything he says I have investigated has been the result of deluded brains or those who were too actively willing to believe. And so an answer to the question tonight, is it sham? Is it fantasy? Is it a hoax? We need to be careful. You see, we need to be cautious tonight, lest we throw out the baby with the bathwater. For while acknowledging tonight that there is much that is false about Spiritism, we would be going beyond Scripture to say that all Spiritism is fraudulent. We completely reject that the spirits of the dead can communicate with the living. Those who seek to establish such communication only succeed in making themselves the prey of evil spirits who pretend to be the spirit of the departed dead. Paul says that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Would you agree with me tonight when I say there are three powers in the world? First of all, there is human power. That is power possessed by man. Secondly, there is divine power. That is power possessed by God alone. Thirdly, there is supernatural power, and that is possessed by the devil and his angels. And so while we acknowledge the fact tonight that much of what passes as Spiritism is false and sham, we must never underestimate the reality of Satan's power and his angels. And so what I want to do tonight is simply open up Deuteronomy chapter 18. And notice five things in relation to Spiritism. First of all, I want you to notice that which is prohibited. Spiritism is absolutely forbidden by the Lord. You remember the context of these words was Israel entering the land of Canaan. God's gift to the nation of Israel of the land of Palestine carried with it the clear command that they should expel, that they should drive out the seven Canaanite nations dwelling there. Come back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now I'm going to make you work your Bible tonight because there are many passages that we need to look at. Look at this one. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And look at verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgazites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Now, if you turn over to chapter 20 for a moment, you'll discover that this command is reiterated. Look at Deuteronomy 20 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 16. But of the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their God. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. Now, does that seem harsh? Why did God demand this? Well, the reason behind this extermination, it wasn't territorial. It wasn't military. It wasn't geographical. It was moral. It was spiritual. These were demon worshippers. And their moral depravity had reached unparalleled depths. My dear friends, had God ignored their abominations, would he not have been abdicating his responsibilities as the moral governor of the universe? And so it was in the context of Israel entering the land and dealing with the sin of these nations that this prohibition was given. I want you to see that this prohibition is affirmed in the Old Testament. Let me give you one or two scriptures. Come back to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. Look at Leviticus chapter 20 for a moment. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20. And look at verse 27. These are scriptures that you ought to note. A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, a medium, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Flick over for a moment to Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah chapter 8. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8. And look at verse 19. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Spiritism is prohibited. That prohibition is affirmed in the Old Testament. Now come back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 for a moment. And notice God specifies here what is forbidden. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. First of all, sacrificing your children in the fire. One of the detestable Canaanite practices was the burning of their sons and their daughters in the fire to the god Moloch, who was the god of the Ammonites. Verse 10 again, divination. The art of obtaining secret knowledge, especially that which is related to the future. Fortune tellers, the Ouija board, reading the crystal ball, reading the tea leaves. Verse 10 again, an observer of times. One who tells the future based on signs. Reading the daily horoscope would come into this category. An enchanter, verse 10. A magician, a sorcerer who casts spells and bewitches people. Parents, you need to be careful what you feed into your minds of your children. You need to be careful what they read. You need to be careful what they're watching on the television. A witch, verse 10. Means one who knows. The Hebrew word means a woman that hath a familiar spirit. We're now dealing with demonic spirits. A charmer, verse 11. A person who casts a spell on another person in order to change circumstances. Verse 11. A consulter with familiar spirits, a medium. One who supposedly communicates with the dead, but actually communicates with demons, a wizard. That's the male version of a witch. A necromancer. Another translation is one who calls up the dead. One who claims to speak to the dead for the purpose of fortune telling. Now, lest we conclude tonight that these warnings about the occult don't apply to believers in this age of grace, let me remind you that idolatry and witchcraft are listed among the works of the flesh in the Galatian letter. Moreover, I believe that one of the traits of the last days, my friends, will be an increase in occult practices. In fact, all who engage in such practices, according to the book of the Revelation, will be cast into the lake of fire. Maybe some of you are asking tonight, well, didn't King Saul ask the witch of Endor to contact the dead prophet Samuel on his behalf? Yes. And my dear friends, it's a tragic story with a tragic end. From a man who began with a promising start. Let's turn to it for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. We can't ignore it. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And look at verse 4. Let's just read the narrative for a moment. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me out a woman that hath a familiar spirit, a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cast off those that are familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, saying, the Lord has departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he speak by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executeth his wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the land of the Philistines. Now, there are several things I want you to notice here. Observation number one, Saul was living in a state of disobedience to God. Look at verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Saul was living in a state of disobedience to God. Observation number two. God, in his own sovereign way, permitted Samuel to return, but not in response to the witch. Look at verse 11. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. In other words, God forestalled, he delayed the seance by allowing the real Samuel to appear. And five or six times we're told specifically that it was Samuel who spoke and not an impostor. It would seem God, as he had every right to do, had permitted Samuel to appear to Saul in order to deliver to Saul God's last terrible message of judgment. The third observation. This is strictly an isolated incident of divine judgment, and that God's revealed will forbids any contact with the dead. Indeed, I was reading the other morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and I read about God's punishment on Saul for doing this very thing. So Saul died for this, for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. This prohibition is affirmed in the Old Testament. Notice very quickly, it's confirmed in the New Testament. Do you realize tonight that the spirit of devils worketh miracles? I want to tell you, on the eve of the battle of Armageddon, which is yet to come, I believe that spirit powers will be working unceasingly. I believe they'll be working miracles, deluding men, inflaming passions, stirring up the world, summoning together the countless armies of the world, east against west, west against east, all against God. Did Paul not encounter demonic forces as he got about the work of reaching the lost for Jesus Christ? Turn over for a moment to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, just for a moment. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 and verse 4. Notice what it says. So they, that is Paul and Barnabas, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John Mark, to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle of unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Here was a magician who was purposely obstructing the preaching of the gospel, and on whom the judgment of God fell. But is it not interesting to notice tonight that before God's judgment fell, we're told that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, denounced Elymas as a child of the devil. You see, Scripture reminds us that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within every believer tonight. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. My friends, we never can be possessed by demonic powers, for we are shielded, we are protected by the power of God's indwelling Spirit. That which is prohibited. Come back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Notice secondly that which is practiced. that which is practiced. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the verse 12. For all that do these things, what things? The things that we have enunciated tonight, are an abomination unto the Lord. In other words, these occult practices are an abomination in God's sight. An abomination is something that God detests. You see, these awful practices tonight lead us to consider the course of Spiritism, the onward movement of Spiritism in our world. Do you remember that the priests of Egypt were able to duplicate the miracles of Moses when he appeared before Pharaoh? What about the book of Daniel? Does that book of Daniel not talk about magicians and sorcerers and soothsayers and astrologers? That was ancient Spiritism. Modern Spiritism was born in 1848 in Hydesville, New York, in the home of the Fox family. Margaret and Kate Fox were 12 and 9 years of age when they claimed to hear unusual, mysterious rapping noises in their home, when eventually the furniture began to move without anyone touching it, when a strange cold hand touched Kate's face, she decided to investigate the incident, and she sought contact with the spirits. The girls believed that these noises were communications from the unseen world, and they sought to converse with the dead. News of these events traveled rapidly, and seances were subsequently held in the United States of America and in the continent of Europe. Earl Davis tells us that in 1987, the British Spiritualist Union had 52,000 members and some 560 churches in Britain. Many people have attended these seances, including those without any religious affiliation, as well as Protestants and Catholics, the course of Spiritism. What about the source of Spiritism? My dear friends, can we doubt for one moment that this movement is of the devil? You remember that I mentioned three powers. In fact, I was listening the other day to the late H.H.R. You remember him? I heard him in Windsor Avenue speaking on the Protestant Reformation. I tell you, you get some Baptist pastors to speak on the Protestant Reformation now, there'll be some Baptists not too pleased. But I was listening to him the other day, and he reminded me afresh about these three powers. Human power, the power that's possessed by man. Divine power, the power that's possessed by God. Supernatural power, the power that's possessed by the devil and his angels. You know, there are some Christians who are materialists. They fail to grasp that the Christian life is a real, real battle. Turn over to Ephesians 6 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me just remind you of our warfare tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, pull on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Charles B. Williams paraphrases it like this: for our contest is not with human foes alone, but with the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark world. That is, with the spirit forces of evil challenging us in the heavenly contest. You see, my dear friends, tonight Satan is not a solitary enemy. He's got a force of demons. Demon beings who are highly organized. And they're brought together into a kingdom like God's system. Those angels chose to follow Satan. And now they're known as demons. They're known as fallen angels. And through these demons or fallen angels, Satan gets the job done. My dear friends, tonight Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be at your house and my house at the same time personally, but that's little comfort to me because one of his demons can. And he works through the ranks of his demons who have rebelled with him and have been assigned responsibilities under him. My dear friends, tonight is it not time that we woke up? Do you realize tonight that this great universe is a battleground and you and I are in the middle of it? Those who are under the influence of Satan tonight dog my steps and incite me to disobey God. That's why we need the armor of God to protect us from the darts of the devil. Do your children need to be protected tonight? Our ghosts and witches and goblins and Halloween, only things that are clean fun? Well, you listen to these facts. Halloween can be traced back to a pagan Celtic New Year festival of Samhain. People wanted to honor Samhain, the god of death. Halloween marked the end of summer and was a kind of New Year's Eve for the Celts and the Anglo-Saxons. And at the pagan festival of Samhain on the 31st of October, it was believed that the dead returned to the earth and food was left for them. Fires were lit around the country for the purpose of frightening away these evil spirits, and people would make loud noises in order to move the evil spirits and the witches away and not molest them. Some individuals even tried to contact the dead for help and protection. According to Earl Davis, after AD 43, when the Romans conquered Britain, their pagan holidays were joined to the Samhain celebrations so that a variety of gods were always honored on the 31st of October. And people today think it's all clean fun. It's just a game. Well, what do you teach your kids about Satan? About demons? About witches? About the occult, when we allow them to take part in the unholy night of Halloween, Satan's night. You say it's fun, I say it's pagan. It celebrates a pagan holiday. But then it just shows us how much paganism can be, how much fun paganism can be to a lost, fallen world. And also to those of us who are Christians not spiritually alert. That which is prohibited, that which is practiced. Come back to Deuteronomy 18. We're making our way slowly through the passage. Notice thirdly, that which is perilous. Look at verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Here is why God commanded to drive them out. They were demon worshippers. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke an eternal truth when he said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And judged by its fruit, spiritism has little to offer to the world. J. Oswald Saunders informs us that the effects on people has been disastrous. This cult has affected people physically. Mediums are frequently overpowered by the controlling spirit. And as in Christ's day, they fall down and they foam at the mouth. Someone has said their work renders them more and more nervous, more and more excitable. It's only logical sequences, insanity. Sir William Brooks acknowledged that the painful, nervous and bodily prostration accompanying the work of the medium involved a great drain on the vital forces. I asked you tonight, is that the effect biblical Christianity has on its people? And then this cult not only affects people physically, but mentally. It's interesting to discover that the Fox sisters didn't die rich, they died poor. We're told that they suffered great pain and suffering in their lives. One commentator says, in time they became victims of the drink menace. Nothing could satisfy their craving for alcohol. They lost all sense of moral responsibility. It's Dr. Forbes Winslow who says tens of thousands of persons are confronted or confined in lunatic asylums on account of having tampered with the supernatural. Is not the mark of true spirituality tonight the possession of a sound mind? You remember the demoniac of Gadara when the Lord Jesus released him and delivered him. He came and he sat at the feet of Jesus and he was clothed and he was in a sound mind. And then, of course, my friends, this cult affects us spiritually. Listen to what Dr. Child said. He says, what is virtue? Virtue is good. Sin is good. The woman at Sychar was just as pure in spirit before she met Christ, even though she was a harlot, as she was afterwards when she went to live a different life. There is no difference, this child, between Herod, the murderer of babies, and Christ, the Savior of men. Can anything but evil come to the spiritual life of the medium or the sitter who utters such awful blasphemy? Think of the effect that this cult has on people eternally. Is this not the most serious of all? You see, my friends, the consequences of dabbling with this cult extend to the world to come. You remember what John the Revelator says. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and all idolaters shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Heaven is closed, hell is open to those who traffic with evil spirits. Those entangled with mystical spiritism through pagan magic, through demonic seances, through satanic witchcraft, through evil incantations, will never enter heaven. Notice fourthly that which is proclaimed. Look at verse 14 of chapter 18 again. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. In other words, these nations which inhabited the land of Canaan, they listened to soothsayers and diviners. Do you want to listen to a moment? You want to listen for a moment to what the Spirit has said about the Bible, about Christ, about sin, about salvation, about eternity? Listen to what they say in relation to the Bible. They say that to assert that it is a holy and divine book, that God inspired the writers to make known His divine will, is a gross outrage and misleading to the public. What does the Word of God say? Peter says, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thomas says this, holy men were carried along. They were borne along by the control, by the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. They wrote as the Spirit of God directed them to write. They were borne along by Him so that what they wrote was exactly what the Holy Spirit intended should be there. What they wrote was in a very real sense, not their words. It was the Word of God. You remember Paul's classic statement on inspiration. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the word inspiration means God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's what it literally means. That is, Scripture is not the words of man into which God puffed divine life. It's the very breath of God. Scripture is God Himself speaking. My dear friends, tonight inspiration doesn't mean that men wrote God's truth in their own words. Inspiration doesn't mean that God merely assisted the writers. It means that the very words of the Bible are the words of God Himself. Every scripture was breathed out by God. Let me affirm tonight where I stand when I say that the Bible is the Word of God. I do not mean that it contains the Word of God. I mean that it is the very Word of God. No better testimony to the extent of inspiration can be given than that by Dean Burgeon. Listen to his words tonight. Have a look at them. Bury them deep in your heart. The Bible is none other than the voice of Him that sitteth on the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every verse of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it is the direct utterance of the Most High God. Do you believe that tonight? All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all of it is God-breathed. Listen to what this cult says in relation to Christ. They say, what is the meaning of the word Christ? It is not, as is generally supposed, the Son of the Creator of all things. Any just and perfect being is Christ. The miraculous conception of Jesus Christ is merely a fabulous tale. They say it is an absurd idea that Jesus was more divine than any other man. Christ was a medium and reformer in Judea. He is now an advanced spirit in the sixth sphere. Tom Paine is in the seventh sphere, one above our Lord. According to H.H.R., Tom Paine was a leading atheist. They're telling us that Tom Paine is higher than the Lord Jesus. What does the Word of God say? John testifies, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Paul says, in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In that marvelous Christological passage in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, but unto the Son He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Jesus Christ was, is, ever shall be God. Concerning the death of Christ, they say this. Morris is finding it difficult to keep up with me. They say your atonement is the very climax of a deranged imagination, one that is of the most unrighteous and immoral tendency. What does the Word of God say? In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He came at one period with one payment for one purpose. What do they say in relation to salvation? Look at it. They say man is his own Savior. How pitiful. In the spiritualistic hymn book and prayers, the name of Jesus is omitted. The motto of many is, every man is his own Savior. There is no devil, no evil spirits. This is what they believe in relation to the future. All spirit people of wisdom know that there is no burning hell, no fearful devil. All spirits in the other world are nothing else but the souls of those who have lived there. See what the inference is? Since there are no angels or evil spirits, communications can be carried on between departed spirits of men and women. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He says, I go my way and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Do you know what that means tonight? That means that the wicked dead, those who die without Christ, can never enter heaven. Turn over to Luke 16 for a moment. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And look at verse 19. The Lord Jesus, let me remind you, as the speaker. He says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was led at his gate full of sores. and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Here's a soul in hell, and he wants a message sent back to his five brothers who are on the road to hell. But notice Abraham's response, verse 29. They have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the word of God. Here's my observation. The wicked dead cannot enter heaven. Two, the wicked dead cannot return to earth. Three, the wicked dead cannot send a message back to earth. The spiritists say that they get messages from the dead. No, they don't. No, they don't. They only succeed in making themselves the prey of evil spirits who pretend to be the spirit of the departed dead. But let's not finish tonight on a negative note. Let's come back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want you to see the Lord Jesus tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 18. That which is prohibited, that which is practiced, that which is perilous, that which is proclaimed, that which is provided. Look at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. You see, Israel did not need to experiment with these new religions, because the Lord had revealed himself through his word to them through Moses, his chosen prophet. But Moses was going beyond here. He was announcing the coming of the prophet, the Lord Jesus. At least that's the way Peter explains it in Acts 3. You see, Christ is the truth. We must hear him. Look at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. Jesus Christ is the true prophet. And there is a cost in not listening to him. Verse 19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. When God says, don't do it, he means it. When God says, don't touch secret things, don't touch hidden things, don't touch occultic things, he means it. My friends, when we do it anyhow, it's disobedience. And God says, verse 19, I will require it of him. I'm urging you tonight with every fiber of my being, don't touch that which is secret. Don't fiddle about with a Ouija board or tea leaves or clairvoyance. Don't touch that which is hidden. Rather, trust him who is revealed. For Christ is all that you need. And Paul says he's the wisdom and the power of God. Christ is the truth. We must hear him. My friends, Christ is the test. We must try them. Do you remember what John says? He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits which are of God, whether they are of God. He says, many false prophets are gone out into the world. How can we test them? Well, my dear friends, here's the first test. Do they speak according to? Do they speak in harmony with the Word of God? With the above quotations before us tonight, to ask the question is to answer the question. The second thing is this. Do they confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? That's what John is saying. That's what John is enunciating in his epistle. He's saying that the teacher who comes, who doesn't confess the full deity and the full humanity of Jesus Christ, is to be identified among the Antichrist. The crucial question, as always, is this. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Tell me tonight, what do you think of Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Thank God tonight for the victory of Calvary. Thank God tonight for the victory of the cross. Here's what Paul says. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Do you know what Satan's purpose was? To halt God's redemptive plan. That was Satan's purpose. To prevent the Lord Jesus from going to the cross. I tell you, the demons were working overtime to sabotage the cross and to keep the cross from happening. But on the cross, Christ defeated the powers of darkness. He cried, "It is finished." The veil was rent in twain. And the way to God was opened. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Aren't you glad tonight that you're saved? Aren't you glad tonight that you're delivered from the power of darkness? Aren't you glad tonight that the Son has set you free? And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I just wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone who's dabbling in spiritism? God's word to you is very clear. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Let's pray. Father, bless your word to our hearts tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the one who has routed Satan's power at Calvary. We thank you tonight, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And yet, our Father, we're so conscious tonight that in and of ourselves we're no match for the devil. But we thank you for the armor of God. And we pray that day by day we may appropriate that armor, that we might stand firm in the Lord's strength. And our Father, that we might realize tonight that you've given to us the means of grace, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God, the promises of God, the power of God. And our Father, we pray that as we go into battle with Satan, that we might realize afresh, we rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Bless your truth to all of our hearts this evening as we give thee thanks in the Savior's name. Amen.